Well, good morning, Harvest family. So good to see you folks. If you're here visiting for the first time or the first time in a long time, we're so glad you're here. And to our fathers, happy Father's Day. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. So before I forget, gentlemen, those of you who are willing to come to the choir, it's not the first Sunday of the month, but the church has on Father's Day sang in the choir. I think we're singing Faith of Our Fathers. Is that correct? Okay, gentlemen, if you don't mind, many of you would be willing to come sing in the choir. Come and join us. We'll put the words on the screen, I hope. If not, we'll get our hymn books. But those of you who are willing to come and help us sing, I appreciate it. Come on, Osbed, make your way up here. The girls are going to make you sing for your supper today. While the men are making their way to the choir, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's blessings on our service today and blessings on our fathers. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessing upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that today we can come together just a time of not only worshiping and thanking you, our heavenly Father. So happy Father's Day, Lord, but also the blessings of our men here today that are have children. Father, we pray your blessings upon them as we have a service today, and help me to be a blessing as I challenge our men in reference to fathers and Father's Day. Father, may you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Cherry.
Say rejoice, Philippians 4:4.
Okay, and as the men come.
Just a quick note before I get. Boys and girls, look at me for just a moment. Boys and girls, look at me just for a moment. We're going to keep you in just a little bit longer this morning because Brother Mike, who ties the balloons, Brother Cherry, and tells the Bible stories, he's going to be singing today with his son for Father's Day. So we're going to keep you just a little bit longer. But I have a homework assignment for those boys and girls that are going out. Today's message is toward daddies. So I want to ask your daddy two questions after service. Daddy, what did you learn, number one? And Daddy, what did you promise God you would do? Because that's what I'm going to ask our fathers to do as they listen, to listen and also make some promises to God. So you girls and boys, ask Dad after the service about what he learned in preaching today and what he promised the Lord he was going to try to do or to do be better at, okay? So we're going to ask you to stay just a little longer until after the music, and then we'll let you guys go. All right, thank you so much for your faithfulness. You've given your time and times an offering. Sorry, guys, I put you under the gun, but that's okay. That's what a mentor does. That's what a good pastor does, challenges you, pushes you to be your best.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Brother Dave, would you ask God's blessings upon the offering?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this day that we've set aside to honor our fathers. And Father, we're thankful for them and the role that they've played in our lives and helping to shape us into the men that we have become. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with the dads that are here with us today, as many are still raising children, Lord. And I just pray that you would give them guidance to raise these children unto the Lord. And now, Father, I just thank you for this time that we have to honor you, our Heavenly Father, with our tithes and our offerings. And I just pray that you would bless each gift and each giver, Father, and bless the services this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. For those who may be visiting with us, this is the time of our service. The church has done historically, as they men pray for their pastor, the pastor also prays for the men and the servants of our church. So please, if you would, join us in prayers. We ask God's blessings upon our service today, as well as our church family. Let's pray together. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts that on this special day where we set aside a time in our country to celebrate and are grateful for fathers. Father, thank you for our Heavenly Father, who loved us so much, who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for what you provide with us with the greatest gift a father could ever give his children. Father, help these men of our church to also be mindful of the provisions that they need to provide and can provide with your help to their children, that they may see a godly example and come to know the Savior at a young, tender age. Bless our men, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Help them to be everything you would have them to be in the Lord, that they might serve you, live for you, and set a godly example. Father, we thank you for our ladies of our church, Lord, who strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman, striving to love you, to love their husbands, to encourage them as they labor alongside of them in service for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for our nursery workers and our children's church workers and our boys and girls of our church. Lord, what a joy it is to hear the voices and to see the nursery filling up and our children's ministry with boys and girls coming in, hearing the stories and how Jesus saves. May many come to know the Lord as they grow in understanding at a very young, tender age, that they may grow and live a life of service unto the Lord Jesus. And now, Father, we pray that you'd help me today. Bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as I preach and teach this morning. Bless the special music that will come in just a few moments and help in preparation for the hearts and mind of the preaching of thy word. Father, when everything is said and done today, may it be said that the Lord Jesus was glorified today at Harvest Baptist Church. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Father who has trusted you as Savior, I pray that you would give them the courage to want to take the lead and be the godly example, and that they need to take that first step of faith and follow you in believer's baptism and obedience unto you. I pray that you give them the courage to make decisions and make a vow to serve you, to live for you, and to set example for their wife and wives and for their children. Father, bless today. Have your way in the service as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One verse of scripture before our special music, and I'll have several passages of scripture there on your little outline. It'll be on the screen, but this wasn't in there, and I thought about it this morning. I wanted just to read this as my text before we start this morning, but Psalm 127 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Man, we need to take the seriousness that God has provided and blessed us with a heritage of children that we might raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, realizing they are a gift of God, and to make sure we take advantage of what God has given us and train them and say, "Lord, help me to live in such a way that my daughters, my sons will strive to see Christ in me, and they in return will want to be like you as well." Gentlemen, come sing for us if you would.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upwards with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember, I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander, and most in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life life is calm. Oh, Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
In 1989, the Lord saw fit to move Michelle and I from Fort Gordon, Georgia, to Mannheim, Germany. It was there that the Lord used a gentleman to push me around, spiritually speaking. Brother Don Kirk is in heaven today. He died of brain cancer several years ago. I got a chance to talk to him the morning before his surgery and then passing that afternoon. But Brother Kirk was 5 foot nothing, almost as big around as he was tall, had a smile as big as life itself, but had a way of getting in your face and getting on to you. But you knew that he loved you. There was no question. You knew that he loved you. And I needed that as a 26-year-old young man and a father of two. One, the second one would come while we were there. And Brother Kirk would always get on to me. Michelle could do no wrong. She was affectionately known as Girly by Brother Kirk. And he would pull me aside, and it was there that the Lord worked in my heart, and I surrendered to preach. I surrendered to full-time ministry. He invested, and he poured his life into me. I couldn't wait after I got over him meddling. I couldn't wait to get to church. I never wanted to leave. Most of the time, they actually had an apartment above the church building that we met in as a parsonage upstairs. Upstairs was the nursery, and the rest of their upstairs was their little apartment that they lived in. And I spent almost every Sunday night and Wednesday night after church and everyone else went home, sitting down at the kitchen table, eating cheap German hot dogs and sauerkraut while he poured into me and just invested in me, loved me, challenged me, pushed me to be a better dad, to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better soldier of not only for the U.S. Army, but a soldier of the cross. And God called me to preach while we were there. And then he began to pour into me even more and in a different way. And I'll be honest, there was times that I did not like him, but I sure loved him because I knew he cared and I knew he meant it for my good. And so, gentlemen, please understand if I push you a little bit, especially some of our younger men with dads, because see, one day, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to be much older and grayer and maybe less hair. And one day there's going to be some young men like you, and there's going to be some boys and girls that you are raising that's going to be running our country. And I want to pour into you the best I can to make you the best dad, the best husband you can be, that you might train your children, might train your boys and girls to live for the Lord. Because if the Lord tarries, I want to see first and second and third generations in our church. I want to see families grow spiritually and numerically, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes I might push you a little bit, but please remember that I do love you, and I only do it because I care, and I want you to be your very best that you can be. So I want to remind you once again to listen attentively. I've got a little humor I want to share with you before I get a little more serious again. But I just want to encourage you to listen to the message and say, Lord, help me to embrace what the preacher is saying today that I need to work on. Help me to recognize what I'm doing good and give me that a boy and to keep doing it. But push me and convict me for those things that need to get better, that I might get better because my wife needs me, my children need me, but also my community and my friends need me to live for the Lord because they need to see Christ in me. So before we get to our preaching this morning, let me share just a little bit of humor with you this morning, some of the lighter side of being a dad. While at an airport, I once overheard a mother telling her 9-year-old son, "Now, son, now remember, run to daddy first and then the dog." A small boy was at the zoo with his father, and they were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious they were. Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up, yes, son, the father asked, ready to console his son, which bus would I take home? Here's my favorite one. The father of five children had won a toy at a raffle. He called his kids together to ask them which one should receive the present. He said, who is the most obedient? Who never talks back to mother? Who does everything mother says? All five small voices replied in unison, okay, dad, you get the toy. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Yeah. While having their evening dinner together, a little girl looked up at her father and asked, Daddy, you're the boss in our family, right? The father was very pleased to hear it and confidently replied, yes, little princess. The girl then continued, that's because mommy put you in charge, right? One more. One time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. But I hope that's not the case. And once again, happy Father's Day, gentlemen. So glad you're here today. And I've read in my text, I'm going to read some other passages of Scripture. And I've got six or seven things here. I think six I really want to share with you. There probably could be more. And you've got a little outline in front of you if you picked up a bulletin. But I really want to be a help to you this morning. So let's get started. What is it that makes a godly dad? Let me ask you this way. What is it that makes a great football team? What is it that makes a great college soccer team or a baseball team? How do you get to Omaha as a baseball player? It's the same thing that makes a great dad. It's called the fundamentals or the basics. Greatness is not on the playing field. Greatness is on the practice field. Greatness is not in the dining room. Greatness is in the kitchen. Great and godly fatherhood starts with the basics. Every dad should put in the hard work required to be a godly dad. Let me say that again. Every dad should put in the work required to be a godly dad. Let me say another thing to go along with that when we get started. Forget about, and don't make excuses, forget about what kind of dad your dad was. That's not the issue. The issue is what kind of dad will you be? Some of you will want to be just like dad. Others want to be similar to dad, but even better. Some might not want to be like dad at all, but just don't even put that in the equation. What kind of dad are you going to strive to be for your children and the husband for your wife? Here are some of the basics to put you on the road to being a godly dad. And I'm sure you could add to some more, but here's the first one. Number one, be saved and dedicated to Jesus Christ. Know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. That's the first step. How can you be a godly dad if you don't have a godly relationship with God? Amen? You need to know Him and apply it to your life. Now, before I go on, let me remind you, those that may be not a dad, one day the Lord tarries, He may allow you to be a dad. So go ahead and start being a godly man. Gentlemen, if all your children are raised and you don't have any kids at home, let me encourage you to be a godly dad and a godly grandfather. In other words, model for your son-in-laws what a man of God is. Model for your grandchildren what a godly man is that you might encourage and help. Oh, how encouraging it is to have a son-in-law hug your neck on Father's Day and say, Dad, thanks for being another good, godly example as a dad. Strive to be that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in other words, saved and you know it, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are new in Christ. You're not the man you were before you trusted Christ. You are a new person because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So strive to be a godly man. So number one, be saved, but also be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, be faithful and active in a local church that preaches the Word of God without apology. It'd be easy to say, be faithful and active in a local church. But if you're going to be in church, why not be in one where the Word of God is proclaimed? Why not be in one where the preacher's going to preach, push you every once in a while? Why not be in one where the preacher's going to to God without apology, maybe stepping on your toes once in a while, but it's going to help you to be the man and the father that God would have you to be. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as some manner of some is, but exhorting one another. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I know Paul is writing to Timothy, but it's an example about what kind of church to be in. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Gentlemen, if you don't get your toe stepped on once in a while, either you're not listening or I'm not preaching hard enough. That's the bottom line. That's just the way church ought to be. It ought to be that way when you're studying the Word of God, that once in a while you might be a little uncomfortable, and other times you'll be comforted and encouraged. But you want to be somewhere where the Word of God is preached. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall return and they shall turn away all their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Dear man, be saved and dedicated to the Lord Jesus, but also be faithful and active in a local church that preaches the word of God without apology. Be there because iron sharpeneth iron, and you want to be somewhere where you're challenged and encouraged to be your very best. Number 3, be separated from the world. The Bible tells us the believers were to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. There to be a distinct difference between the way I live now that I've trusted Christ than the way that I used to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, as I just mentioned, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Choose to be like Christ and not like the world. Let me put it in a language you might understand better. Don't be a spiritual deadbeat dad. Be godly, be spiritual, strive, memorize scripture, strive to learn more, strive to be your best, strive to honor God in all that you do. Dear friends, dear dads, your kids don't need a cool dad. They need a godly dad that loves them enough to stand for righteousness. To stand for righteousness. It's okay to be a cool dad, but don't strive for that. Strive for godliness. And may the kids recognize that in you and recognize you being a super dad because your desire to please God and not to please man. Your kids should know there's a difference from their dad than from the other dads their friends have at school. That he is different. He desires to live godly. He desires to help me, to train me, to set rules at home, not just for me, but also in his own life. My dad is a superhero. He puts guards in areas of his life to protect him, to help him to be the man that God wants him to be. My dad is not afraid to cry once in a while. He's not afraid to share his emotions and plead with God to do something for his wife and for his children as for his family. I have a dad who desires to live for God, to serve God, and to help me to be the best that I can as a young believer. Number 4, be forgiving and openly in love and affectionate toward your wife. Be forgiving and openly in love and affectionate toward your wife. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Dear friends, God knew that he had to tell us to love our wives because sometimes we need to be told what to do. And sometimes God does it, and sometimes our wives does it. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, again, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Yes, that means we are to love our wife and our children the same way God loves the church. We are to do our best not only to love our wife, but we are to be forgiving and openly in love with her. Gentlemen, don't be afraid to hold her hand. Giggle. Let the kids giggle when they see you hug mom and sneak a little smooch on the side once in a while. Let them say, oh, gross. Let them say that and tell them, yes, it is, until you get married. Set the godly example. Do all that you can to let them see. Because after all, Daddy, what if little princess grows up and wants to marry a man just like you? Are you just all you want them to marry? Are you setting the godly example? Are you doing all you can to show them what to look for in a man by being a godly man? Number 5, be committed to the spiritual and physical well-being of your children. Be committed. In other words, all in. Be willing to do whatever it takes to make sure the spiritual and physical well-being of my children are being met. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Let me pause there just for a moment. I am thrilled and excited to see boys and girls in our congregation. I'm thrilled and excited to see them go into classes and learning songs and hearing Bible stories. But gentlemen, that is not enough for your kids. They need it at home. They need to see it in you. I challenged our boys and girls today to ask Dad what they learned today, to ask Dad what kind of decisions they made. Let me encourage you to ask your kids what they learned in children's church today. Find out, ask them to color for you. Ask them to sing songs that they're learning in children's church. Learn those songs and sing with them. Sing them on the way to church to get them ready for church and to get you ready for church. Make the decision to say, I am all in. I'm committed to the spiritual and physical well-being of my kids. And then in verse 6 of Psalm 78, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Let them see the works of God in your life. Let them hear you talk about the works of God and what God is doing for you in your life. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Our kids know and they recognize. They will see a change in you for some of our young dads who recently trusted Christ. They're going to notice a change because you have a desire to grow in the Lord, to be mentored, to be discipled. They're going to notice a change. And let me encourage you and help you. They will like it. They will appreciate it. They may not understand it fully now as young boys and girls, but as they grow in the Lord and they grow older, they will appreciate a dad. They will appreciate a mom who desires to be sold out and dedicated to the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Train them. Teach them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yeah, we pick and tease. We have a lot of fun in our home, and you do as well. But remember to draw that line and not provoking your kids in an area that would be unpleasing or wrong or hurtful to them. Love them, embrace them, and strive, dads, to be committed to the spiritual and physical well-being of your children. Just like I don't want you to be a spiritual deadbeat, Dad, I'd also want you to be the kind of dad that will never be accused of being a deadbeat because you have a desire and a commitment to them and providing for them. And that brings us to number 6. Be a man known for his work ethic. Be a man known for his work ethic. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Dear gentlemen, our children need to see a godly example of a man of God. They need to, at a young age, dads, to see them. Yes, they might be young. They might even still be in diapers. But start practicing now, so they will recognize and see as they grow. Maybe you're here, gentlemen, today and you have no kids. Well, maybe you have nieces and nephews. You do have other boys and girls in this church, if this is where you attend. Why not be a godly example for them? Why not encourage them? Why not let them see the men in our church have a love for their church family, a love for their Sunday school teacher, a love for the boys and girls in their class who will talk to them and ask them how they're doing today. How are you looking forward to Sunday school? Let them see and recognize godly men in our church that they may strive to say one day, when I'm grown up, I want to be like. All through the years, we've all at one time or another, gentlemen, have put on our dad's shoes, put on our dad's coat, or looked up to another man or another person to want to be like them, whether it be our dad, an uncle, a big brother, or maybe even an athlete that we knew. Dads, we ought to strive to be so much, have so much of a relationship with the Lord and so much of a relationship with our kids that they want to grow up and be like dad. They want to grow up and be like mom. They want to grow up and be like some of the men in our church that set a godly example before them in all that we do. As a dad, I was so blessed and encouraged this morning to receive text messages and phone calls from my children thanking me. Happy Father's Day. Love you. And I can go on and on with some of the things that were said. I get encouraged to hear my daughter say, Dad, I'm so glad that you're still young enough to invest in my kids the way you invested in me when I was a kid. I'm glad that I have some grandchildren around that I can. I'm glad when we travel to see other children that I always take the time to invest in them. I took my daughters on daddy-daughter dates. I take my granddaughters on papaw and granddaughter dates. Spend time with them. Take them out. Buy them one of those foo-foo coffees that they like to have. Or maybe a special small little token of some gift. Because I want to build a relationship with them and let them know what a godly man talks like, acts like, and presents himself. Dads, let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. Be all you can in your relationship with God. And he will help you to roll that over into a relationship with your children. Start practicing now. Take the time. Spend time with them. Sometimes my daughters get together and they laugh. I'm trying to say, I'm going to say this to make it not sound. They're not laughing at me as dad, but they're laughing together at some of the things that dad did. So I'm going to let you laugh at me a little bit, but that's okay. I want to encourage you in some areas. I learned how to pick up little bitty teacups and hold it with my little pinky out. I had tea parties with my daughters. They even tried to put a tutu on me and paint my nails pink one time. I had to draw the line somewhere. Amen. Amen. But now when my daughters tell their daughters what Papaw or their dad used to do when they were little, they want me either to do the same with them or get their dad involved. And I love it when they're doing it with dad and papaw. I enjoy doing those things with my son-in-law. Dads, invest in your kids. Because when the day comes and the Lord tarries and your children grow up and have the family of their own, you'll enjoy a heritage that God has given you. Invest time in them. Pray with them. Don't just have fun and games with them. Do those things. Don't just take your daughters out on dates. Don't just teach your boys how to drive a nail, to drive a car, and to change a tire, but teach them to read their Bible. Teach them to pray and to talk to God. Teach them that it's okay to be different from the rest of the crowd because we're more concerned about pleasing our family and our Heavenly Father than we are the things of the world. I promise if you'll make those type of investments, you will not regret it. You will not look back and think and wish you'd done it differently. But if you don't, you'll have some regrets in some way of wishing I would have done more with them while I still had them. Dads, what see in you? Saved and dedicated to God? A man that is faithful and active in a local church where the word of God is proclaimed and preached? What do folks see in you? A man that is separated from the world that's a little different. I don't mean strange different, but a little different. A man that is forgiving and openly in love and affectionate toward his wife and toward his family. A man that is committed to the spiritual and physical well-being of his children. Do they see a man that is known for his work ethic and his desire to take care of the needs of his family? May the Lord help us men to be everything that God wants us to be and what our families need us to be. So, gentlemen, before we close, are you striving to be what your wife and children need you to be? Is there room for improvement? I'll make a deal with you, gentlemen, especially our young dads. I'm going to push you a little bit either way. Okay? I'm sorry, that's just me. I enjoy being around people. I make friends everywhere I go. At least I try to. And those that are in my circle of friends and my circle of family, I want you to excel. I don't want you to make the same mistakes I did as a young dad. Remember, I was 26 years old before I got serious about serving God. I was 26 years old before God saw fit to put Brother Kirk in my life to challenge me and to push me in some areas. And Michelle will tell you, I can remember one Sunday going home and looking at her and saying, who does that man think he is? Did I not? I was talking about my pastor. And boy, the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I realized he is someone who loves me, cares enough to speak the truth, to push me just a little bit. And I began to embrace it and thank him and even told him, preacher, I said something that I shouldn't have said. I want to ask you to forgive me. And he laughed and said, it was last Sunday night, wasn't it? He knew by the look in my face that he pushed a button that I didn't like. And he laughed and said, son, though I'm not his son, he loved me. He said, son, you're forgiven. Let's go upstairs and get a bite to eat. He liked to eat. But I want to challenge you one more promise. If you'll come to me and say, preacher, I want you to push. I want you to mentor me. I want you to be there for me. But I also want you to be patient. I also want you to not let me go. I also want you to not let me stray. Go after me if I miss a Sunday and don't tell you where I'm at. I want you to go after me if I'm not as faithful as I should be or responding the way I should be, because I want to, and I want someone to hold me accountable. I may do some of those things anyway, but I'd appreciate it because at least I know you want me to. How about it, gentlemen? Are you everything that God wants you to be? Are you striving to be the man that God would have you to be? Are you looking and thanking God for the children he has given you and saying, Lord, help me to build a godly heritage in my home? Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I know much of the message today was any man that's here today can apply this to your life, being a godly man. Pray for your husbands. Don't complain they're not where they should be. How about praying? Help them to be what you want them to be. Maybe even what you want them to be might even be what they want to be, but they're just a little slower. They're just struggling a little bit, but they're trying. So encourage them and pray for them. Eyes are closed and our pianos will begin playing in just a moment. Or go ahead if you're ready, Miss Marlene. No one's looking but me. I'm going to ask two questions and then we're going to have our invitation. Maybe you're here today and you've heard the message and you might would just raise your hand up and go to you and no one else is looking. And you say, preacher, I really would like to be a godly man, but I don't know God. I don't have that type of relationship, but I sure would like to know more about having a relationship with God. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Gentlemen, don't be ashamed. Be a man. Preacher, pray for me. I don't have a relationship like that with God, but I want one. Anyone at all? Maybe some of you here today, and I don't need to know the circumstance. You just slip your hand up and down to encourage me. You say, preacher, pray for me. God used you today, and God spoke things in my life that need to improve, that need to be added. I see those hands. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. Yes, several hands across the auditorium. Why not, guys? Make a decision and a commitment to God. Father, you saw the hands this morning. I pray that you speak to the hearts of these men that are here today, whether they be dads, grandpas, uncles, or whatever they may be, Father. Help them to be godly men and those that are fathers. Those that are grandfathers, those that are uncles, help them to be the godly example to children that are around them, especially our dads. Help them to be a godly husband, a godly father. Help them to strive to be pleasing unto you, because when they please you and they are following hard after you, Father, we, including me, those other things will fall in place. Give them the courage they need. Help them to step out by faith and say, I shall strive to be a man of God. Help them, we ask, in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. God has spoken to your heart. There's some at the altar praying. Others may want to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you for the message. And maybe come, Lord, help me to be those things. Whatever it is, you respond and do what God would have you to do. As there are piano plays this morning, gentlemen. Morning. be bashful. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. God put mentors and men in my life to help me. The men are still coming to the altar to pray. What about others? Whether it's where you stand or here, how you do business with the Lord this morning. If all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. And before we dismiss, a couple things. As always, remember that God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Gentlemen, right now we have had two men go through a discipleship mentoring program. One just finished her book recently. The other one is still working on his, and actually him and his wife are working together. I want to challenge you, encourage you. If you desire to be mentored, you desire to be discipled and grow in the Lord, see me, and we'll make sure that happens. If you're a more mature man in the faith here in the church, and you say, preacher, I'd like to be involved in mentoring and helping younger men to grow and to challenge them, you see me, because I have a book that I want you to go through that will help you to be a good mentor, to understand the fundamentals of not only the faith, but what we stand for here at Harvest, that you may be able to mentor and encourage other men. I would love nothing more than this time next year to see more young couples and see men that are saying, hey, brother so-and-so mentored me. I have finished my course, and now I'm looking forward to mentoring somebody else. That's what it's all about, is godly men produce godly men. In order for that to happen, men need to be mentored, challenged, encouraged, and prepared and challenged to mentor others as well. And that's how we reach our community for Christ. One soul at a time, one mentorship at a time, and encouraging others to go out and to reach others also. And God's going to honor that, and God's going to bless that, and we just do it step by step. Or as we say in Russian, shag sub shagum, this one step at a time, and God will meet those needs. Again, if God has spoken to your heart, let me challenge you. Tell somebody. Gentlemen, tell your wife if God spoke to your heart. Tell your kids. Tell someone that can be a mentor to you. Hey, hold me accountable. I know I'm not fully ready yet, but I'm trying. This is what God spoke to me about. Pray with me. Help me to accomplish these tasks. Amen? All right, I'm going to make my way to the back, and we'll be dismissed. And I'm going to look who we got here this morning. Hey, Brother Mel Hottie, would you lift your voice and ask God to dismiss us from prayer?